Save big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew to stains and hard-to-stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. Joining me is Pete, Steve and a special guest. We have a guest appearance from the coronavirus, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, all right. Paddy tested positive.
Did he want that broadcast to the nation?
Yeah, thanks, Justin. I think that's personal medical information.
Well, you better be honest. You're in good company, Pat. What is it? One in three people in London in Croydon? No, what, I think it's every other person in Croydon's got it now, haven't they?
One in one in Paddy's house.
Yeah, 100%. I like what you said, though, Pad. Because the thing is, right? I don't know, Pete, you're not on this. Paddy, Steve, my family, were on this coronavirus test scheme. Been on it for months, and they pay you vouchers to get tested because they want to see a thing. And Pad said he got the test back, but he said they call you. I didn't realize this. They call you up. He said it's a bit like the X Factor. So they call you. Is that Paddy? Yeah. Paddy, it's the guy from the test panel here, Keith, and we have some good news for you, or some bad news, depending on how you look at it. And so he said, right, we've got your test results back, and the result is you have tested positive! Yeah! And then Paddy said, now he gets to do another test, so does the antigen and the antibody test, so he gets more vouchers. I told us to Megan, and Paddy said, don't tell us to Megan, she gets jealous. And he said, and Megan, four-letter words, what? He's getting double the vouchers? And then literally, as if by magic, right, our post went... after telling Megan this, and let this game through the door, and it's our test results for the coronavirus. Megan was open, but one by one, she went, negative, oh, negative, oh. She wanted a positive. that was disappointing. And so, that's amazing, that's a bad. So, this is the thing about the coronavirus. You did say to us on WhatsApp, you said, I had a day where I felt a bit rough over Christmas, and then it sort of passed, and you said, I think I had the coronavirus, and you had it for one day, didn't you?
Yeah, like 2 days, yeah. The weird thing about, so it didn't feel like anything else I've ever had, but it was just at no point did I, like normally when you're ill, you stop eating, don't you? Like even when it's a bad cold, you know, you feel less hungry, but that wasn't an issue. I had a really bad temperature. Like on the phone, she listed loads of other symptoms, which I don't really tell you about, like nosebleeds and sneezing, which apparently are associated with coronavirus. So I had those. So I was like, all right, okay, fair enough, yeah.
But do you know what? When I talk about coronavirus people, people are confusing two things, right? People talk about herd immunity. We don't need, from an investing point of view, from an economic point of view, we don't need herd immunity, you know? We just need to free up the NHS. And that's why, you know, they're wheeling all these people in now. To be honest, a couple of the shots I've seen on TV, a lot of people look very close to death, but they're giving them the vaccine, and that's the whole point, because these people will fill up the NHS. If they get the virus, of course, they will be very ill indeed. It's the same as the flu. You know, these people get flu vaccinations every year, because if they get the flu, they could die from it, and so that's why they're vaccinated. So it'll be like that, and so all we need, this target, in fact, let's look at the survey there. I did a survey on Twitter saying, because Boris Johnson's got this target out there, 13 million people, the first top four priority groups to be vaccinated by mid-Feb. And we've had a couple of promises from Boris in the past, haven't we, that haven't quite cut it. And so I said, do you think he'll achieve it? And so the results are 32.6% of people thinks yes, he will. 67.4% say no, he won't. 13 million people. But did you see that Kate Bingham? You know, Kate's taken over from Clive, isn't she? Clive's taken over from Kate Bingham.
Yes.
That's a vaccine. Clive from C4XD. What is he part of? The task force or something?
It's the vaccine task force. He's the chairman.
Have we
talked about that?
Yeah, but do you know what's annoying?
Probably not enough.
Kate Bingham's on Radio 4 she's a former task force head, and Clive is now the head, but she's getting the press. What's a, again, Clive, you know, C4XD, they don't never get publicity with RNSs, don't do a lot of PR, anything like that. And yet now the former head of the vaccine task force is on Radio 4, and she's saying they could exceed the target of 15 million. It's been practiced over and over again, and she said, you'll see next week the figures will ramp up, and they will, because essentially they've rolled out from 100 GPs last week, and this week, from the start of this week, the 4th, they've had 700 GPs doing it. There has been a... I had a laugh, though. I don't know, that was hilarious. Do you see Matt Hancock turn up at a place, I don't know where he was, it wasn't Basingstoke, but he turned up at a place ready for the vaccination at Oxford, in a rollout, the Oxford AstraZeneca one, and he was standing there with the cameras rolling, all this, and someone came in and said, no, we haven't been delivered it. So what do you mean?
No, really?
Yeah, he said, yeah, it's been delayed, it's coming tomorrow. And so he was there, ready for the big press rollout, and I said,
was that
yeah, well, it wasn't that. They were filming, obviously, ready for it. They filmed him, and it was just sort of, you know, symptomatic, isn't it, of how the government's acted in this thing. And I don't want to politicise it, but that was not a good omen, you know, for a public rollout of the first sort of vaccination at a GP surgery. Because what they've had so far with Pfizer, of course, it's been hospital hubs, and there's less of those. And, of course, it's harder to bring people into these hospital hubs because Pfizer needs minus 7 degrees storage, and you can't do that in GPs. Most of them just have normal fridges, which they can do with Oxford. So I think the ramp up would be very interesting. So I know, you know, Boris is very confident, and the fact they're going to do updates nearly every day on this, I think, you know, it'll be very embarrassing, egg on the face. I don't think he minds, though. If
but that's the thing with Boris, he's full of BS, because he can come across all confident. It just doesn't mean anything. It's absolutely empty, hollow promises.
Yeah, well, I do know, very much
his thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but but surely he seems overly confident. Don't you think at the moment on this, or is that just him? I mean,
he seems overly confident about everything, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think you boys have just been ultra negative here. I'm positive. I think he can.
That's it, Steve. I love that. Do you know what? No. The part of me thinks you got the army guy out there. It was quite boring, but. Someone said, now the army involved, it's taken out of Boris's hands, and they said this has been practiced over and over again. It's not in Boris's hands, this is basically.
Yeah, that's true.
And they said, essentially, or Matt Hancock's hands, this is, you know, they do this, the flu vaccine, in fact, one of you Google, how many people do we vaccinate flu-wise of a year? Because, you know, there's a tried and tested route to the market, basically, for flu vaccines.
Yeah. This is why it's so baffling that they haven't just done that right from the start. I'm still utterly confused about why it's taken this long for them to put all this into place.
Yeah, because I think with flu vac, it's about the juice. Matt Hancock said that. He said it's not about the fill and what's it? It's still several steps, isn't it? One of them they're going to test it as well. But he said it's the juice itself, the vaccine itself. It's getting the supply of that.
Yeah,
and with a flu vaccine,
the infrastructure could all have been ready. Like I saw you retweeted today, someone saying that their wife has been interviewed to be a vaccinator. Like that whole process could have been done in September last year. We could have all the people on standby ready to go. You could have all the porta cabins in supermarket car parks ready to go. There's no excuse for all of that not being in place already.
Developing the vaccine should be the long-winded thing. Yeah. That was happening, so that this
enough
sort of
marquee
scene. But hang on. The media have to focus on something, right? Any hold-ups or mess-ups, that's what they love focusing on. Any bloopers.
Yeah, that's good.
It's very good, and it highlights the problems. But I think if what I'm seeing, what I'm reading, early signs, I mean, you're going to get the odd GP whinging, saying, I haven't got anything yet. We're supposed to get this last week. You're going to get that. But that's one of two stories. You're not getting, you know, thousands of GPs saying that, or hundreds of GPs. So it'd be interesting to see whether these are the odd GPs saying it, they're not getting the vaccine, or it's going largely to plan. Because if it's going largely to plan, that isn't much of a story. You know, people can't report on that. They like sensationalism. They like people messing up. They like out of something out of the ordinary. So I'd like to see it, because even the vaccine guy, the minister said, you'll see, and I did a video, said, ramping up, and they give the figures. He said, from this week, this Monday to next Monday, so we'll get the figures this weekend, I think, or next week, of how this week's been, and it should be a massive uptick from the previous week, and next week be even bigger, because they're going to start rolling out now to like all these outdoor venues, like you know, sort of shopping centres, not shopping, but sports stadiums, all that stuff. So it'd be interesting to see. But the thing is, we only need, I genuinely think, if you look at the last lockdown, look at the figures, it took about a month to get over the peak of the hospital admissions. And That was in lockdown. That was without a vaccine. This lockdown is not... The thing I'm concerned about, this lockdown is not as strict, but also we have a more virulent... A variant! I'm sick of hearing that word. The variant! The variant! The variant! Variant! I've heard it all over the media. Have you, like, I've heard Sturgeon saying, I've got a new variant. And then a guy, Drakeford, variant, see, like, it's very contagious. We're shutting up everything. We're shutting up our houses, the windows, everything. No, open the windows, sorry. So, yeah, so
good to know another word to wind you up with.
So yeah, yeah, yeah. And like I said, you started speaking. I was watching the National News Channel, right? And I'm from Wales. The National News Channel. Mark Drakeford on there.
You're from Wales?
Yeah, Mark Drakeford on there, right? And he started going, hello, everybody. Cloud, coronavirus, level, risk. Coronavirus.
Variant.
I know, variant.
That's not Welsh, by the way.
No, it is. Yeah, every now and again, all you hear is coronavirus, risk. Variant. And so I thought, what are the Welsh words for level, risk, and variant? And variant, coronavirus. And so what I'm saying is, the lockdown, I think, will take about the peak to will take about a month on the lockdown. But we got a new, you know, variant. That one from South Africa sounded a bit dodgy, isn't it?
But the thing about this variant is that it's more transmittable, but it's, you still can't get it if, as long as you're following the rules. So whilst it's more,
trouble is people in Croydon, don't they?
Well, no, that's exactly it. So I called it off my friend Scott, who had it.
Dirty Scott.
At the time I met him, I think he's one of the few people I saw over that period who's tested positive. We were literally in each other's presence for like 15 seconds.
Yeah, but kissing passes it on the bad. If you're kissing,
yeah.
15-second kiss, what about do it?
Yeah. They didn't say that in the rules.
No, kissing for less than 5 seconds is fine. Over five, I think, is it says. Mark Drakeford said that you could snog right for 3 seconds maximum. That's what we found out. Me and the missus been trying it, but
virus isn't going to get under your door. So, like, as long as you're actually doing what we've been told to do, then it doesn't matter how virulent it is, because you still can't get it.
It won't get in Steve's smart door. Steve just switches things on, kettle on, door opens. Whoa, hang on a sec.
Well, my lights flash red if coronavirus comes near my house.
Does your kettle boil every time you open your door?
Yeah, he has to open the door to get the kettle working. You see, the wiring's all messed up there. The Wi-Fi is not working very well. So Trump's been banned from Twitter. And do you know what? That thing, I thought, do you know what? Social media has to play a part here. They have to take a bit of responsibility because it gives him a massive megaphone. He's got like, 90 million followers. And it enables extremist groups, doesn't it, social media? And the social media turned a blind eye and said, no, we don't nothing to do with it. But it does. It gets them together easier. They can arrange things easier. And have you noticed that the twins, Trump twins came out this week? First of all, naughty Trump twin, inciting violence and all that stuff, and storm Capitol Hill. Then he got banned off Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and they threatened to impeach him. And then nice Trump twin came out and said, those people are not part of America. What are you talking about? You were inciting them to get up the Capitol Hill. And I thought, hang on, this is obviously a different Trump. Must be his twin, nice twin. Because that was nuts, but now he's banned off Twitter now. And it's amazing. I unfollowed him a while back, so he's a deluded man, shouting into the... But now he's... it's amazing. You can't... I'm looking around. So he's not there anymore, so you're trying... Where can you go? He's not on Facebook. He's not. So he's basically muted, isn't he, from society.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah,
just life is so much calmer without these idiots. Yeah. Like, I muted Farage because he kept on showing up. I wasn't following him, but he kept on showing up in my feed, and like, immediately everything's calmer.
That's because all your friends are probably, sort of Brexiteers.
No, I like to follow people from both sides of the argument just to get a sort of picture of what's balanced, going on. Yeah, but unfortunately, some of them are quite big fans of him.
Yeah. So I want to move on to Dropportunity.
Nice.
So, trademark, Pete.
Pete coined this phrase a while back, and it's about an opportunity when share price drops. In fact, there's one right now, I think, on the market. The adverts are back on TV. Rightmove just announced that their sales are up 30%, the biggest sales they've ever had in January. That on the market will follow that, I pretty much guarantee, because they're very similar, platforms. And but the share price is down. And I think, why is that? And I don't know why that is. Maybe a couple of sellers in there, because it's not very liquid, the stock. And now it's down a market cap of 75 million. It was over 120 million in the market. So it's dropped quite a bit. And I think things like that are a drop opportunity. When everything's going well, and we'll get an update soon on, and sometimes the price and the value are not related, you know? I mean, so what I'm saying, the value is still generating good value, but the price, the share price will come down for some reason, and that's when you get a drop opportunity, you know?
Yeah, lovely.
As long as the story hasn't changed and everything's going forward. And in fact, it's happened. I'm surprised how resilient Escape Hunt's share price is, considering Stewie, the seller, is in there selling like a maniac every day. Yeah. And yet the share price has dipped a couple of times, but like yesterday, people are now buying it. It's now on people's radars. Now on people's radars a bit more, and there's good liquidity getting through there. But it's literally, Stewie the seller will come in of a morning, start dumping loads of stock in the market. It'll drop. Right. People start buying it back up. So I quite like that. So I think, honestly, once we get positive news on, you know, vaccine numbers and the fact that the lockdown, you know, and hospital admissions go down. That's the key metric. I'm keeping an eye on that. Hospital is at the moment is going berserk at the moment, but it'll take about a couple of weeks for that to come down. I think the leisure sectors and everything will see a boost, because we're seeing the economy is going to be opened back up. And like I said, Stewie, the story behind Stewie is this, right?
Can I ask a quick question before you go past Stewie? And Pam's probably might have been thinking this as well, when you shared in your video about him selling, because he was selling in like small chunks, wasn't he? Because that's how he was getting out. Is that right?
Yeah.
All I was thinking about is the charges from Harry and Larry. I was thinking that must be costing them an absolute fortune.
Yeah.
Is that like when you get to that point? Is that how you've got to sell? Like if you've got like a couple of million shares, you have to sell it.
No, you don't have to do that. No, you could basically, if he was clever, right? He's quite clever actually.
Cause he's pretty clever.
He's made about £1 million, probably more than that, right? Because. But no, you could approach the broker of Escape Hunt. When you're in a significant holder, you can say, you can approach the broker and say, listen, I want to sell some stock, you know, maybe just want to buy a house, or maybe want to make another investment. I made some money. I want to, you know, 99% of the time, someone selling is no reflection of the company they're selling. It's generally personal circumstance. Even fund managers, you get new fund managers come in and say, right, we're not involved in that or small cap or that sector anymore. This is what I'm going to do. Because it's like with radio stations. When we used to work at radio stations, a PC comes in, you know, program controller come in or something, and they want to put the stamp on it. You know, any manager of a new business want to put the stamp on it, want to change something. So they'll sell something completely. It don't care if the company's turning around. They're holding about 100 different companies, and they want to trim or they want to focus it in some other direction. So generally, it's got nothing to do with the company. And Stuart, he's made about £1 million. And what happened is...
for the benefit of people that don't know what the hell you're talking about, do you want to explain?
TR1, which is a significant holder. If you hold over 3% of any company, you have to notify the company and the FCA. And you have to tell them you own this. And then every 1% up you go, you have to notify. And if you come down then, you have to notify every 1%. Until you get below 3%, then you no longer have to. Now, Stuart did hold 23% of the company, right?
We don't know Stuart. It's just his name is on this TR.
His name's on Stuart Hawthorne. Yeah. And the reason why I did this, and like I said, you can approach the broker and say, listen, I want to sell some stock. And they would probably find a home for that stock, you know, without having to dump it on the market, in the open market, and it would help. For some reason, I don't know why he's not doing that. Because, like you said, Steve, he's racking up a lot of dealing costs when he could have done one big chunk or a couple of chunks rather than, you know, thousands of trades. And what he's doing is he'll go on his broker, try and get a live quote for as big a chunk as possible. And at the moment, that seems $3,000, $4,000, $5,000's worth, and he'll dump it, you know. And then you keep doing that all the time, relentless. And of course, the share price is going to go down because there's only a certain amount of sellers that the market makers can find. And what they'll do in the end is mark it down further to try and get some buyers on the other side. Obviously, the share price will take a hit. So that's what's happening. Mm. But I mean, what happened is.
So he's gone from 23% down to 5%.
What happened when he had 23%, they did a fundraise after that. So that diluted him down to about 10%. Right. So he went down, that dilution went down to 10% pretty much. So, or 9%, I think it was. So now he's gone from 9% down to 5%. And the more he sells, the less significant it'll become. And once he clears, if he does clear, the share price will rally. And I'm thinking, this is a drop opportunity, right? Because honestly, if this coincides with him stop selling, and good figures on, you know, hospital admissions and vaccines, and then the economy opened up, I think Escape should be higher than it is. It's just because Stewie the seller is basically suppressing the share price. So it should be higher. It's been very resilient in light of him selling. So I think it's due. It's like a cold spring. It's ready to go. And as soon as he's out, it will. You know. So that's the perfect example of a drop opportunity.
Can I address Steve's concerns that volume of selling with any platform, it'll mean your dealing charges will come right down. So don't worry too much about him. He might be spending £6 a trade.
Well, that's still a lot of money, for, you know.
Not really,
percentage-wise,
is it?
Well, Steve, let's do 100 trades in a day, right? So that, what's exactly. That's 600 quid, is it? So and he's made £1 million off it, so, you know.
I think he's okay with that cost.
I'd love to know how he happened to own the quarter of the company.
Aramas was a, it's going to call Aramas, it was a broker that held stock in Escape Hunt. It held 23%, and they went bust. And he basically bought it up. So it was quite a clever move. And you know, and so he took that stuff, and basically done well. And you know, he's obviously an investor, and so he's got other opportunities, and so he's made £1 million.
Should get him on the podcast. I'd love to hear from him.
Well, I think you try to contact him. I actually emailed him saying, "Stuart, listen, I'm a fellow, you know, significant holder. I would like to know, you know, what's happening there. You change your mind on the company? What?" And I know that's not the case. I just wanted to strike a bit of conversation, have a bit of, you know, dialogue with the guy. See, I mean, maybe I could buy some shares off him. I don't know, you know. But he didn't get back to me. Didn't get back to you. So he's not in the market for communication. You know, there we are.
And that's fair enough. We have to respect that.
No, exactly.
I think I'd ignore Justin's email.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's this guy?
Yeah. Do you know what? I've got to thank. You said get a room, Pete, but I've got to thank a guy called Tom. No, listen, right? Listen, I.
Oh, God, it's a bit much, isn't it?
No, listen. So this is amazing, really, right? I'll show you what's happened here, right? I'll thank him for many things because. In the last, I don't know why Tom spoke to me, in the last 3-4 days, I've just gained 800 followers on Twitter, right? This is from Tom Dixon. He said, "Only started trading in 2020, but very happy to have my first 10 bagger," which is good, isn't it? "Would highly recommend share pickers as a source of information. Small amount invested, but you have to start somewhere." And he went from 400 quid to over 4 grand, with 4.5 grand.
It's great, isn't it?
In Argo Blockchain Mining. Yeah, no, Argo Blockchain Mining.
That's pushed up a lot more since then as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, and So it dipped a little bit, but I mean, yeah, so. And like, what's annoying is, you know, I look back at the video when I talked about Argo Blockchain Mining back in 2009, and all the things I said, you know, pretty much, and everyone was saying it, but everyone who knew anything about Bitcoin was saying the same kind of thing, you know? Saying essentially the halving's happened, there's less supply coming on is, you know, inflation will push it up because obviously you get stimulus, more money printing, so people go for hard assets like gold, and Bitcoin is becoming a hard asset. In fact, it's the best performing asset if you believe it's an asset, which now it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because, you know. And also more institutional adoption. And that's what's happened. And now the share price of Bitcoin has gone bonkers, and the share price of Argo Blockchain has gone bonkers. I didn't hold on for that long.
No,
I think I made a small profit. I think I made a small profit, if that. You know, so
I sold at a loss.
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah.
And that is incredibly galling to look at that now. But the halving, happened in like May, didn't it, last year?
No. Yeah, it always happens.
It was earlier than that, wasn't it?
No. It didn't happen. It was meant to happen earlier, but it didn't. But if you look at halvings, generally, the Bitcoin price rises more afterwards than before.
Rise like dramatically, did it?
No, it's the 18 months afterwards. It's 18 months, pretty much the year after every halving, it goes berserk.
Okay, but we're not even
there. Yeah. Okay. No, but at the moment it's gone stratospheric, and I keep saying, like I said, my father called me. My father's what, 76? Just, should I buy some Bitcoin? I said, Dad, you can't even get on the internet. What are you talking about? And when your father, who's a 76-year-old guy, asks you about buying Bitcoin, you realise that's probably the top of the market, or very close to the top of the market, you know, because everyone's in who can be in. You know, Henry, my nephew's bought it. Everyone's bought it. Everyone's got Bitcoin. I don't know what Bitcoin is. I got some. Yeah, I love it.
You know what? I've had a few friends message me within the last week going, should I be buying Bitcoin? And I'm like, why do you think it's good to buy it now? It's gone flying. And it's just like, you know.
Yeah, the thing is,
bought some in December. Yeah, a guy that doesn't do any of this, and I bought some Bitcoin. I'm like, oh, right, where did that come from? Okay, fair enough. And I was thinking, blimey, it's 25,000 or whatever it was at the time, US. And, you know, it's hit 40 now, isn't it? And it's like, wow, that was a blinding move. Well done. But I would take some profit. But that's just me.
Yeah, did you see that guy who, the guy I tweeted out yesterday? And I thought it was a cracking story, but where was it by? Oh, yeah. He said, Jim-free adolescent, already too late on Twitter, but he said, I bought half a Bitcoin in 2017 for 527 quid, not because I thought it was a credible investment, but more because I thought I might need to buy a gun on the dark web in the event of an apocalypse. Funny, he said, yeah. Funny how my best investment ever was based on a moment of paranoia and heavy medication. And that's it. The ironic thing is, when should you be buying Bitcoin? When you didn't hear about it, you know? And that's the same with stocks and shares. When you see, you know, the markets on mainstream TV, on the news saying, the stock markets are rallying, it's probably not the best time to buy. I mean, there may be a few more legs up, but not a lot. You know, and when you see the market saying, it's been the biggest sell-off ever in the market, that happened in March, you know? When the 6 o'clock news or 10, 9 o'clock news, whatever, was saying the massive sell-off, that happened back in March. Now, it seemed insane to be buying then, but fear is your friend in that situation. Pretty much any, even the biggest stocks of all have doubled since March. So you could do some amazing, and we have a correction every year. If you just wait and sit in your hands, pretty much, you know, I'm talking about funds mainly, more, I suppose, but you have a correction every year. If you sit in your hands and have a bit of cash on a correction and buy on the corrections, you'd do very well. And that's what I said, you know, even like, you know, Rich, for example, he's in our WhatsApp group, but he doesn't say anything pretty much all the time. And he's been talking about getting into investing for the last 2 years now, isn't he?
He probably bought a load of Bitcoin this time last year.
Yeah, yeah, he's probably killing it. keep me quiet. But I'm saying, I told one investor, I said, don't put your money in the bank, it doesn't do anything. In fact, inflation will dilute that, any earnings you get from that. If you want to earn decent money, you can do it in a fund, a low-cost fund like the Vanguard Fund, and buy on big dips. When you see that big sell-off on the news saying, billions has been wiped off the stock market in hours, that's the time to start topping up with the next few days there on your fund, and you'll outperform the market. You'll outperform most fund managers because they're too active, pretty much, and that's the way to do it. Now, if you want to get more reward, you've got to take on a bit more risk and go for individual stocks. But you can be quite passive and just sit there reading looking at read your newspaper of an evening. But when you see that on the news come up, the big sell-off, then top up your fund, and that's all you need to do.
I mean, can we talk about Argo specifically? Because I think there must be some lessons to learn here. And congratulations to everyone who's held on. Like people that watched your video, and people like me watched the video, bought the stock, and then I sold at a 50% loss and thought I was genius because I clawed that back through, I think it was Gfinity I put it in, and I recovered that loss. So fantastic. That's been great. If I just sat and held on to it, of course, I'd have like 10 times that money now. But anyway, what's the lesson here? Because you, impatience, obviously, has been the biggest problem here. Why did you sell out?
That's it. Someone said to me, and you keep coming back to the Argo all the time, says, forget about it. Learn from it, move on, find something else. And I don't want to keep looking at the share price all the time. Because someone said to me, when I put it, I said, listen, I covered this on my YouTube channel. Not all companies will perform like this, but I'm hoping some stocks will get there because that's what I look for. For small caps that can do 10 bags, you know, pretty much. And someone said, you must be kicking yourself. I thought, no, it's no point in doing that. That's destructive. Kicking yourself, you don't learn anything from doing that. What you should look at is look at it and say, okay. Now, what I've taken from this is this. If when I look for stocks, I look for very hot areas. And I don't mean just, a hot bump up like COVID stocks that is going to be hot for like a year. I'm talking about a long-term hot trend. So you're talking about 3 to 5 years, maybe 10 years. The biggest one at the moment is EV, you know. When you get in that trend, stick with it, because it may take a while, a lot longer. There may be a dip in this trend for a while, but we know it's not going away. The same with Bitcoin. You know, everyone's gone online. The kids of today are more likely to buy Bitcoin than gold. You know, and the supply was going down, and all that. It was going to happen, and yet I just got bored with it, moved out. So impatience, and I keep saying this: impatience is my biggest problem. I won't hold something I know. Same with power energy. That's done 900%. You know, I don't know what I got on that, but not a lot, and. But the concept.
Don't deadhead.
Deadheaded. If you're in an area where, if you're in an area that's not in a long term trend, but if you're in a very hot trend and it's not taking off, but it's still getting commercial, like, you know, power energy was in clean energy, you know, turning rubbish into clean energy. That you can't get better than that, even though it's not fully commercial yet. The idea of that, I kept banging on about that for ages, and it didn't take off. And all of a sudden, you know, one day it went berserk, and what you get then is people chasing the stock, and that happens. That's why my father knows about Bitcoin. Ironically, when you should be buying companies is when they're not talked about too much. When you know the outlook is very good and there's some doubt around, that's when you buy it, because that's when you make the big, fast, easy money straight away.
I remember you talking about Powerhouse when you said, I'm going to give them another 6 weeks and I'm bored, I'm going to move on. You said something similar about C4XD. What was the one you sold out recently?
Like you keep on repeating this.
No. It's just, right, listen now. I've got my stocks. Right, I got them. You know all of them. You know all of them. There's one I need to reveal. Do some more research on that I hold, but I think is a very hot sector as well, and they are quite sort of cutting edge in the sector, and they've got some big contracts. The company, but no, I've got all the stocks. I see the. And do you know what I see? Even, for example, you may say, out of all the stocks I got, so it looks through them, MedTech is very hot, right? It's going to carry on being hot, especially Plarium in the lung section. Right? EV, very hot. Ilika, and like I said, if you look at the valuation of Argo Blockchain Mine now, £325 million is valued at, right?
Mm.
Now, their last update, December operation update, they said they mined 96 Bitcoin, or Bitcoin equivalent, compared to 115, of course, it gets more difficult to mine as the more the price goes up, more people mine it. But they said, based on daily foreign exchange rates and cryptocurrency prices, mining revenue for December amounted to 1.63 million.
Mm.
So extrapolate that out compared to November, 1.48. So let's say you're doing even 2 million a month, that's 24 million in revenue. Now, how do you get to 325 million?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that evaluation, because when you're in a hot sector, you can throw valuations out the window. Like I said, I bought Ilika, and it was like 135 million market cap there. And normally, I try not to look at above 100 million. But I realise it's a special situation, this, you know?
ARB valuation, isn't that based on the fact that, you know, people are saying, oh, it's going to be 150 grand? You know,
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. I mean, it's the future. How do you put a price on the future there? Because if Bitcoin is going to 150,000 or a million Bitcoin, of course, but then they'll, how many Bitcoins can they mine then, because it gets really hard. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is, when you get a hot trend, a hot sector like that, it's sometimes ignore the valuations. I mean, look at Tesla, right? You know, it's now valued at 800 billion, sorry. Bigger than all the car companies put together. It's a P ratio is about 1,000 compared with average of 30 for automotive companies. And but you know, again, that earnings will go up in years to come.
With all these things, and like you said, with the ARB thing, you're saying, you know, and the Bitcoin halving, this was going to happen. You just said, you know, this is what is always going to happen, and yet you still sold.
Yeah,
it's like, it was going to happen, but everything is going to happen until it doesn't.
Yeah. There was more doubt about Bitcoin. I mean, you get evangelists been banging on about for ages, but now you realise with all the stimulus is coming in, and you know the value of dollars is getting eroded.
Hindsight's helping you there.
Well, no, that was
always the pandemic really helped as well. That wasn't inevitable. A lot of the banking sector's locked up for small, medium sized businesses. They can't transfer money. They're having trouble with foreign exchange, so they've switched to Bitcoin. It's become more credible, which maybe wouldn't have been foreseen back when you were banging on about it.
Yeah, and when I sold at a 50% loss, you know, I think my rationale was like, yeah, okay, it could recover, and yes, it could happen, but really, what's it going to do? Yeah, it might multiply by a few times, and I might miss out. I had no, you know, they never envisaged it would be like it would, you know, it would stratospherically go like 10 bag in a month or whatever it's done.
Yeah. Well, no, I know, exactly. So one thing is, when looking at stocks, look at long-term hot trends, not short blips, you know, pop and drops. And I said, you know, that's why I'm going to do a video on it now and look at the portfolio and saying, what am I in? And look at sectors as well. If you're undiversified, don't worry about the amount of stocks you have. Because I think you shouldn't have, you know, basically more than 10 anyway. And 10 is hard to manage, and it dilutes your returns anyway. But I got, what, 6, 7? But so Plarium, MedTech, you know, very hot, especially lungs, and now even more so with COVID. Ilika and TrackWise, you know, electric vehicles. I don't see anything hotter than that at the moment, apart from, you know, crypto, Bitcoin. But,
I mean, the crazy thing with ARB is that, you know, last week or a week ago, and it got up to 40p. And, you know, I'm looking at it like, because I sold out at 5p because I bought at 10p or whatever. At that point, even if we could have bought in at 40p and still made a really handsome profit as we sit here now at 120. Yeah.
Do you know what I said? Leave it alone, Pete. You know what I said? Yeah. Leave it alone. Just stop talking about it and stop looking at the wins you could have had. You're still doing that. Look what I could have won.
That's
like
the updates of the price in the WhatsApp group. Is that useful?
Yeah. That's like, you know, Jim Bowen, look what you could have won. Look what you could have won. It's like, sod off, Jim. I didn't win it, right? Rub it in. I'm going back to my council house now.
I am doing that.
Look what you could have won. Yeah, so
it's also interesting, though, isn't it? Like, sometimes when these shares have these massive days, yeah, like, that's not the end of it some of the time.
No. There's a saying.
On an update, but actually that update could only be half the story.
Yeah, no. Do you know what? I see this with Ilika, right? People, it's now valued at 300 million. And people say, well, they've got no revenue yet, or very little revenue, or grant revenue. I know, but don't worry about that. Don't worry about the valuation, because they will have solid-state battery, you know, electric vehicles are the way forward. Okay, there's other competitors like hydrogen, all that
stuff.
And
backwards sometimes.
Yeah, and backwards. There's a reverse, yes. Yeah. But within that, did you see that Wall Street article? I don't think people understood that, how significant that was. Wall Street, was Wall Street Journal, or Times, what was it? But, you know, massive publication in America. Very well read, you know, and very well respected in the business community. And they basically almost copied my video. In my video, I said, okay, here's the poster child of EV. It's Tesla. That's what they're valued at. Crazy valuation, but that's the future. I mean, now, the future of batteries is solid state. Now, quantum is the poster child of solid state. They're valued at 40 billion. They've got no revenue. And then I said, and look, in the UK, there's a company, is now valued at 150 million, solid state as well, who are in the same development speed as QuantumScape. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal came out and did the same thing. They got a quote from Graham Purdy from Ilika. Of all, it's only about 20 companies in the world doing solid state, I think, at the level they're at. But why pick on Graham Purdy from Ilika and Romsey down the road from me? I thought, wow. And they put them, and he said basically, it's not going to be hard for gigafactories to take on the solid state, or transpose the solid state from normal batteries. And I thought, that's amazing they've got him in there, in that bracket of Tesla, QuantumScape, and now Ilika. And so people are thinking, you know, and if you look at it, and I did a video on that, their timeline, QuantumScape's production is going to start in 2026. Ilika start before that. So, you know, and so people are saying, I see Ilika, honestly, as a £1 billion company. And I'm going to be patient. I don't care. It's very volatile, yeah. Like I said, days will start up green. In fact, it was a Thursday. It started up green, went down to red, come back up. But I'm going to stick with it, because I think we're just about to start here of really. And like I said, people start hearing about it. When people start talking about companies, like I said, like my father, 76, talking about Bitcoin. When it gets that level, then you may want to take some profit off the table. You know, when it gets that level, because that's pretty much everyone's bought pretty much in. My father wouldn't have a clue to buy Bitcoin. How would he buy Bitcoin, my father? I mean, you know, he literally can't.
How is Chris?
He's all right, yeah, but I mean, you know, I'd
take. Is he selling EVs in his garage?
But not yet, but I mean, did you see that? And again, look at that. Did you see that? The sales of EVs.
What's that?
You see it?
Did you see that?
Take that. But the sale of EVs overtook diesel cars.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. That's
a huge actually.
It's a huge milestone, isn't it? I mean, I would have sold
them in South Wales, though.
So will be.
We don't have electric yet, Pads. So
you don't. No.
A couple more years, we'll be there.
Steam cars in Wales.
Yeah.
Steve will have to open his front door to start his car. The app is confusing you.
It's flush the toilet.
Yeah, flush the toilet, start the car. That's it. No, that's the one. If you're going around his house.
Kettle whistling in the kitchen.
If you're going around his house, switching different things on and off, which one is it to start the car? Or it's the gas oven. That's it. Lovely. I leave the gas on, the car starts. So, and more electric cars were sold last year, right, in the UK than in the previous decade. Now, it's from a low base, yes, but the figures are there, and adoption is building up quickly. So, you get the 2030 timeline out there saying, you know, it's going to be no more petrol diesel. But people are going to start buying before that, because why would you want to buy an old car that's not going to be. There's no money going into it, no investment going into it, you know?
I think the fact you just see them everywhere really helps as well, doesn't it? There are so many Teslas on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did just you see makes this? It appear more...
They're not very nice-looking cars, though, are they?
Didn't you think? I think they're all
right. Door handles.
They got horrible indicators.
All right, that's why. Okay. That's why you base. Right. That's why you both base a purchase on. Is it the indicators?
Yeah. Yeah. Indicator.
Elon, you've got a problem.
Oh, I love the indicators on this one. Oh, look at that. And you get all. Yeah, and there's a guy going through all the metrics of, you know, how efficient it is and plug in. Yes, but the indicators. Oh.
I'm actually quite serious about that. Like,
I love that. I took offence to that. I'm actually quite serious about that.
What is it you don't like about them?
They're just like one light, almost like one LED, you know, where you've got Audis and BMs where the LEDs have got funny shapes, you know, they do clever little flashy light things.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
The Teslas have just gone, we'll just put one LED in there, shall we? And you're like, yeah, not really.
Yeah, I like the
cool animation.
Which of the cars that have indication, the LEDs go across to the left or to the right to where they're turning. That's quite clever. I like that. A little arrow almost. By the way, if you want any more of it convincing that EV is massive, do you know who the richest guy in the world is right now?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, exactly. He's just overtaking Jeff Bezos.
And that is despite the indicator problem.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah. You tweet him, Steve. Elon, you imagine how rich you'd be if you sorted the indicator out. Yeah. Get those indicators sorted out and you'd be super rich.
I'm surprised he's dropped the ball on the indicators. The design. Like, he's really involved in the design of everything.
That's what I thought.
Those spacesuits were incredible.
Yeah. Mm. And did you see that? What's the funny thing? They came out, obviously, sales came out there, car sales came out, and there's a bit of a slump in petrol, diesel, EV is powering away. And the guy from the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders said, we need about 4 gigafactories in this country, 4 or 5, and we've got 1 pretty much, and we need massive investment within 3 years. Because the deal we've done with the EU says after 2024, we'll have to pay tariffs on any parts, batteries that come out from outside the EU or the UK. So either we buy them from the EU, or we create our own gigafactories, or we have to pay tariffs on them. And you know, there's going to be massive investment. So I know Boris stood up and said, you know, electric vehicles. That's an old car, by the way. But but I hope he does stand behind it and put a lot of money into it, because it's not going to be here for 5 minutes, is it? EVs, it's going to be here for it's a big industry and a massive car industry, unless we need to, you know.
Like you say, look, it has been quite volatile. I mean, have we missed this week a drop opportunity?
Yes, all the time. Well, no, I've got enough in there, you know. Already, I'm happy with my holding. Are you happy with your holding? I am.
Well, no, I wish I'd put a bit more in Ilika.
Yeah, I probably put more in, but it dropped this week, and I didn't, and then it rose sharply, and I was like, oh.
Boys, consider TrackWise. Honestly, they've got a $40 million contract, and they're valued at what? And you know, they have a unique. Or they're valued at $100 million. They've got a $40 million contract with a Nissan Leaf, the electric vehicle manufacturer there in Sunderland. So that they are very exposed to the EV trend as well. But I mean, it won't be as hyped as Ilika, but there is exposure there, you know?
Who knows which way the share price is going to go? People will be trading it. We may see further drop opportunities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I looked at it this week, but because it's doubled for me, it was already at my 10%, so I figured rather than invest in more, I just won't de-risk. So that's my further investment.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but I stuck some money into On the Market instead.
On the Market, yeah. No, Jason Tebb's the new CEO. I was a bit worried because I've seen the adverts. They're putting the adverts back out on there. They now, which is good. They realise they advertise this time of year because it gets really busy this time of year. You know, people after Christmas, divorcing, getting new houses, or leaving the house, all that stuff. It's very. Who is this? I'm seeing a 7-year-old girl in Russia, which is weightlifting. Anyway, weightlifting on YouTube from the RT channel. She's got tattoos and stuff. Oh, she's 7 with tattoos. Wait, anyway, so I got distracted. I was looking at.
Do you want to concentrate on the podcast?
I was looking for an update on my thing here about. Sorry, what were you talking about?
I have no idea. Wow, it's one thing where if Steve goes off on a tangent.
Yeah, sorry. What were we talking about there a second? What were we talking? I can believe that. A girl with tattoos, 7 weightlifting. That's okay. A very odd thing.
Okay.
What were we talking about?
Over here. Right, come back into it.
What were we talking about then for a second?
Drop opportunities.
Oh, sorry, no, yeah, no. On the Market, yeah. So like I said, people get divorced. Apparently, January's a very, very, they have Christmas together, people, and then they go their separate ways. Or even young people say, right, going to have this last Christmas and we're going to buy a house or whatever. They're saving up. And so they do that. It's very busy. So On the Market now have been running the advert. Have you seen it at all on telly?
Are they real tattoos or are they fake?
Don't worry about that. Listen.
Sorry.
No, they look real.
Watch TV.
Oh, so okay. No, I do. Every now and again, I watch a bit of TV. I saw On the Market adverts coming, but they're running their adverts again. So there's two versions of that advert. There's one where they say, get, evaluation within 60 seconds via the app, you know, which is quite good, I thought. But I thought, hang on a sec, the big sell for me, and I said this to Jason, the new CEO, I said, the big sell for me, I've already got Zoopla, I've already got Rightmove apps. I was driving the car, I remembered, the set, I was turning into my road, and I heard, we get properties up to 24 hours ahead of Zoopla and Rightmove. I thought, what? Really? So hang on a sec, so I'll be ahead of the crowd there. And it's true, you do get them often ahead of them. And so that was the big sell. I didn't see that advert, and I said to Jason, have you dropped that message? He said, no, it's basically, we've got a couple of messages going on, but that's front and centre. And I saw the other advert come out saying, up to 24 hours ahead, because that's a huge arsenal. And the reason why they do that is because, of course, a lot of estate agents own shares on the market. 65% of the stock is held by estate agents, and so they're a bit more loyal than they are to Rightmove, who charge about three times the price and don't have much dialogue with them. And Jason is from an estate agent background, also tech background, so it could do very well. But again, the share price has dropped. It's now technically oversold on the chart, so I think there may be a draw opportunity there, because the figures will... I don't know if they're going to have a trading update, but January's a very good month, and so hopefully it'll do very well, you know? But yeah.
And so Paddy's, you know, done the right thing, used his, you know, head and kind of gone into a unloved stock where it was a bit of a draw opportunity potentially, rather than chasing the spike of Ilica. And let's see what happens.
Yeah, and it also, by the way, there's a drop opportunity in Plarium this week, and I think some people took it up because it bounced, didn't it, on Friday, at 9% pretty much, and it bounced that level of pretty support. And when that happens, the first bounce, you see RSI take up, you say, okay, that's where support is. And it may come back down to that and retest it. So you haven't missed out. So sometimes it's worth just waiting. Say, okay, because rather than just buy in and hope it's going to stop falling, wait until that bounce happens, and then, you know, okay, that's the level. It's going to go build off. That's the next sort of support level is going to build off. So that sort of Plarium, I think now we've seen that support. What did it go down to? Went down to about, did it go down? I think it was 60 pence, didn't it? Oh, it did, yeah. Hit 60 pence.
Yeah, it did, nice. Yeah.
When in doubt, just look at a round figure and say, there we are. Round figure bounced, 60 pence bounced off that. So maybe it'll go along that level now for a while, but drop opportunity there. So yeah, MedTech, right, EV, of course, Gfinity, eSports, nothing bigger than eSports. Have you seen BBC now broadcasting eSports? Trying to grab a younger viewer, I think, which I don't know if they're ever going to do that, but I just did tweet it out, today, saying, you know eSports is strong when the BBC choose to air tournaments on their iPlayer. They're airing the Rocket League, how to watch live across the BBC. So you know that. China just invested $900 million, US dollars, in an eSports stadium. $900 million. That's a lot, isn't it? They don't mess around in China, do they? They go for it when they go for it. So, but I think even the Millennium Stadium costs, what, was it 50 million or 125? One of those two figures in my head.
No, it was hundreds of million.
125, wasn't it, I think it was? The Millennium Stadium.
That's 25 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. But in an eSports stadium, now you can see what, you know, when we look at trends, just look where the money's going, and you realise that's...
I think they've been had there, haven't they? Yeah. Someone's done them.
You didn't realise it's not actually a real sports stadium.
You don't actually need a stadium for this.
I know. No, but they are creating that. That's the thing. they want to be up close to these eSports stars, and that's the thing. What you don't understand is they do.
Mate.
I've got kids, right? They literally, they know all about these, these esports stars. And I thought, really, like we would know about sports stars, and that's the way forward. So you understand the trend is very strong in these areas, no?
We start seeing this in the Daily Mail in a few weeks' time. People who've been done. Yeah. They've invested in an esports stadium.
Yeah, probably in China. You go there, and all it is a couple of fold-out chairs and
ham sandwich.
Yeah, a couple of fold-out chairs. You know, a temporary stage. Oh, you spend how much on this? 900 million. Whoop! What? Yeah. anyway, trends again on the market, right? Tech, and I can't see. Let's be honest now. Who actually goes along? Apart from when you walk your dog, maybe walk past an estate agent, who goes along and looks in a window and goes into an estate agent's shop? That isn't the way for my parents may be doing that, but they're not going to move anymore. But who's actually doing that? So everything's online, isn't it? It's not going to stop that trend of buying online. That's the way it's going to be. In fact, do you know what? Won't they become the estate agents? I don't know if it's too much cost, probably. But there's going to be a massive move towards that, surely. The extra portals actually being... having their own properties on listed, do you think? I don't know. I know this.
Potentially, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
A stage is more like that. I think Right Move was making the move. In fact, I think Right Move was making the move, or was it one in America? So, Dream Infinity Esports there. There's another one I've got a toe in. I'm going to talk about again in the future. But check out my YouTube channel for that, guys. Yeah, all right. And
is it ARB?
No, yeah. It's Powerhouse Energy. Yeah, Powerhouse. And do you know what? I know from what Peter Lynch says. There's a book called One Upon Wall Street, which is worth reading. Trouble is, it's a bit more applicable in the US, because in the US every company is pretty much listed, and so and all the big companies listed in the US. But he said basically, if you know of local trends and a lot of people are doing them and buying them, certain shops maybe or online or websites, then look if they're listed, because you know, it's a good feel, and it does happen. And do you know what? The missus is trying to book holidays like crazy. I think we got something 5 holidays booked for this year. I think, what are you doing? If we didn't have many holidays last year. Just playing catch up, you know.
And you were always on holiday last year. You never weren't on holiday.
Well, we went to I think we had Turkey once, and then we went to camping. Yeah, but camping.
You know, just doesn't count camping as a holiday.
Not really. That's not a holiday. It's me. That's hell. What's the point of that? Why would I want to sleep like, you know, on the floor somewhere in a field? I got a bed in my house. I got central heating and a flushing toilet. Yeah, so one thing is, I think people, once the lockdown happens or lifted, people want to go out and do stuff, go on holidays. That's why leisure, hospitality, that's a trend, massive trend, a rebound trend that's going to happen. And if you can get, and I keep banging on about this, and people don't, listen, there is Stewie's providing the opportunity in Escape Hunt. This should be higher than this, because this will rebound massively. People will want to go out and do stuff, and their experiential spending is generally in an uptrend. Because it suits sort of social media, Instagram, showing off. I'm outside this place. I'm doing this, you know, and shopping and shopping. You know, what else is there? There's like bowling. We you know, look at all the leisure activities we've done. Bowling's okay, right? Paintball, sod that. I don't want to do that ever again in my life.
No. I think that might just be you.
Did you enjoy that though? No, I didn't enjoy that. It was bloody awful.
We're old men, so we're not really.
Yeah, you know, I hated that. Audience. What else is go karting's all right, but again,
yeah,
you know what?
Karting's good because I won.
But do you know what?
Because I won.
Escape Hunt now has got a digital thing. You can't do any of those digital, really, can you? Golf is all right, yes, but again, you're going to need a bit of an investment in there. You can't just turn up golf with no clubs and say I want a game, can you?
Well, you can, but
you can. You definitely
Steve
can.
Steve does.
Yeah, Steve's got a proper set, and Steve.
Yeah. Funny enough, I put him in the attic yesterday because I'm like, I don't want to play golf again.
See, I know, well, Steve, don't worry, we'll do a virtual online escape room or something like that. It's fine. And all that. But so I want to say it's leveraged to the opening of the economy massively, because now they've got digital. And I think Stewie's providing a drop opportunity here, but that's going to be a trend. Experiential spending is a trend. And, you know, people. I don't think many people have done escape rooms in this country. And I think, you know, it's like, what, 2% maybe? I know you've done it a couple of times, Steve, but not many people. So there's plenty of upside there. You know, they're going to get 50 sites. I think it's completely viable.
As long as they like it.
Yeah, no, but it's completely viable. But what I'm saying is, one of the things you can try to, when you're looking for things to do, what should we do? For example, us lot, right? So what should we do, boys? Play golf. Steve didn't want to play it. Paddy doesn't play. I don't think they've had. Paintballing, I'll say sod off. Sod that for a game of soldiers, literally. Because I'm going to get shot and get bruised and all that. Bowling, yes, could do. Let's try. Oh, we could just go see a cinema together, hold hands. What are the other options for leisure? What do we do? Is it
escape quad biking?
Quad biking, yeah, escape rooms. What's it? It's another option, you know, and it'll be an option. And so I think it'll, you know, 50 sites. And what I like about it is the more sites they roll up, the more recognised they'll be, the more dominant they'll become. So it's self fueling. And as yet, it hasn't even started yet. So what I'm saying is a trend. Look, when you're looking at building a portfolio, look at trend sectors rather than how many shares you have. Look at where the sectors they're in. Try and diversify across that way, across hot trends, rather than saying, I need 15 stocks. You know, you don't need 15 stocks or 10 stocks. You just need to be in different sectors that have you know, a lot good long-term trends. You know, that's all you need to do. Anyway, that's it. Anything else, boys, I'm talking about? Anything else worth mentioning there?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Trump riots, all that, opportunity. Bag of thanks. We did that. Oh, BBC, I quite like that. Paddy, you said you didn't know if that was if that was a scam or a spoof. So BBC staff now will be tested for the coronavirus twice a week under new plans laid out in the memo today. They'll also be given social distance proximity devices at the staff entrance, which you hang on your neck, and apparently it beeps when you come within 2 metres of each other. I love that. I really love that. And I saw it on Click, the technology show, where people were going on a tourist attraction, that it was in Italy, I think, where it'd beep if you get 2 metres. Now, in general in life, not for coronavirus, generally in life. I think, well, I love that. Yeah. So when you're in a supermarket, you get these unwashed people coming really close to you in the queue. Back off, mate. What are you, you must breathe in your neck.
It only beeps when somebody who's also wearing one of those devices.
They should have those, but supermarkets need them at all. Supermarkets are the biggest transmitter, pretty much, of all of the coronavirus. Get them in there, get into a habit. When you got one of those, you know, guys who can't, you know, standing behind you, is really overweight, his belly's hanging out, and he looks dirty, and he's like breathing over the back of your neck.
He's not going to be wearing one of those devices.
Well, he needs to be. Everyone needs to be wearing those, and maybe even stop the. Rather than just have a beep, just say, put voices in there, say, "Hey, Chris!" Okay. Fatty, move back!
Just to clarify, supermarkets being the biggest transmitters is probably because they're the only things that are open.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people. So when you're in there now, you realise 1 in 50 people have coronavirus, and that's pretty conservative. So in a big supermarket, how many are in there? What, 1,000 people? So you get, what's that, 100? How many people would have
coronavirus? 20.
20 people would have coronavirus in there. Yeah. They're all breathing, touching your coleslaw.
I don't know about those stats of one in whatever. I find that a bit. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's based on the survey that me and Justin are on. So that's sort of based on reality.
Yeah.
All right. I'm saying is everyone should have a beeper. Don't get close to me. All right. I hate people getting close to me. I hate that.
Right.
And I don't know how it'd work for. I don't know how it'd work for. Like,
I'm surprised you still go to supermarkets. Why aren't you getting?
I don't go to supermarkets. I don't want to do that. My missus goes there, sneaks in, sneaks out, but she's like desperate to go shopping these days. So, is there anything we need from Asda? Right. This is how the lockdown thing affects you. No, we don't need anything. Didn't you say you wanted some Snacker Jacks? I said, you don't go to Asda, get some Snacker Jacks. I said, no, but you want something. We'll find something. But the boys wouldn't mind some apple ties. I said, why are you force yourself to go to Asda?
To catch COVID to get more vouchers.
That's what it comes down to. I know. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying about people for lockdown fear. They want to, people just, even though they're not really locked down, get a bit of normal, they feel it. They want to get out and do something. That's why they're booking holidays are crazy. Let's be honest, when we actually locked down, will you arrange to go out? We'll probably arrange some meets, you know? So a lot of people are going to be doing that, you know? So I think the hospitality leisure will boost. Anyway, that's enough.
Anyway,
have we talked enough? I
think so, yeah.
I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, Steve? I think most people turned off by now.
Steve, how's your dating going?
non-existent, obviously.
Yeah, because your friend, is it Pip? She's a travel blogger. It's a good gig to have, but I don't know how she makes it pay in this day and age, but at the moment, but she's well.
Very well, actually.
She's the one who suggested we find a girlfriend for you. So if any ladies listening out there, Stevie, why don't you have a website, Steve, with your profile on there?
Well, like you tried to do about 15 years ago.
Yeah. Now you've aged. Yeah, we'll do that anyway. But Steve's single.
My photo's from last year.
Say again?
My photo's from last year.
Where is it?
On Twitter.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about Steve. Paddy wants to find someone as well. Okay, we'll put you together. It's a package. Yeah. It's a package deal.
I don't want to go out with
Paddy
Steve.
Or Steve. No,
Paddy, I think you're getting the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah. I'm not asking her to fit you up with Steve. It's not like, right, who's singing on the podcast, boys? Let's get together. I'm not saying that. I'm looking for a bigger pool.
Was that the COVID talking?
Yeah, I'm looking for a bigger pool of people here, Pat, than just you three.
Yeah. It wasn't dating within the podcast.
That's a very limited market right there. Yeah. But I'll give it a try, though. Okay, boys, have a nice weekend, and speak you next weeky.
Nice. Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.